on West Coast Live. Steve Willis, our house pianist, and for Mike Greensill, my name is Edge Thompson. Welcome back to West Coast Live here at Studio 55 Marin. Steve, piano player, accordionist, piano builder. Thank you. How many keys are there on the piano there, Steve?
88.
88. Okay. Add 8 and 8 together. What do you get?
16.
Okay. Subtract 16 from 88.
72.
72. Add 7 to 2 together, and you get?
9.
And you can do that with any number between at least 0 and 100. I know because I learned this from Arthur Benjamin, my next guest, the mathematician, author of The Magic of Math. Please welcome him to West Coast Live. How do you do?
Great. Great to be here, Sedge.
Lovely to have you. Have a seat. Have a seat. First of all, I have a question. In the press material, one of the statements is that your 3 TED Talks have been viewed by over 11 million people. Yeah, I know. Another part of the same document says they've been viewed by 10 million people. How do you calculate, explain the difference?
I think maybe 2 of them combined had over 10 million, and all 3 of them combined had over 11 million.
So one of them is less popular.
Well, yes.
Which one do you think that one is?
Who knows?
All right, well, tell you what. What is it about the number 9? How can you do that mathematical exercise?
Well, let's have the audience do it, okay? So think of a number between, say, 20 and 100, okay? All right, add your digits together. Now subtract that from your original number. That's the hard part. Now whatever number you have now, add those digits together. And how many of you get 9? Yeah, right?
So why? How does that happen?
Oh, it's, the 9, I always, as a kid, I thought 9 was the most magical number. And it's based on the fact that if you take multiples of 9, 9, 18, 27, 36, when you add the digits, you always get a multiple of 9. Something that they don't teach us in school is if you add the digits together, like let's say 23, now that adds up to 5, so it's not a multiple of 9, but it tells you that it's 5 bigger than a multiple of 9. And it's based on that fact that the magic trick works.
Okay.
You have to read the book to see why, but it's there.
But I mean, you get into trigonometry, you get into algebra, you get into not quite the calculus. Yes, you do get into the magic of the calculus and the magic of Fibonacci numbers. The Fibonacci numbers, the series of numbers, it's the number plus the number preceding it that add up. Like 1, 2, 3, 5, 8.
5 11. Plus 8 is 13, 8 plus 13 is 21, and so on.
And these numbers, this ratio and relationship shows up in nature, in the shape of the sunflowers, the way our hair grows. Yeah. It's kind of magic.
Yeah, magic is, the mathematics.
And
very
pineapples.
Magic. Pineapples, yeah. The number of petals on a flower is often a Fibonacci number. The number of spirals on a sunflower or pine cone is often a Fibonacci number. But they also have magical properties just of their own as numbers. And that's one of the reasons I love mathematics so much.
What is it that people fear about mathematics?
Well, you know, one of the great things and one of the scary things about math is that most math problems have just one answer, right? And so as humans, we like to sort of be maybe a little flexible in our thinking. But in math, the answer is right or the answer is wrong. Now, one thing, though, that I like to encourage is that though a problem may have one answer, there are often many, many different ways to get to that answer, right? And in schools, sometimes we overemphasize, just learn the one way. Whereas if it were up to me, I would assign problems and say, solve this problem in more than one way. And if both answers agree, then you're probably right. And if the answers disagree, then you know you've made a mistake somewhere, and now you're invested in trying to figure out where the error was in your thinking.
I always found the part, show your work, was a tricky thing to do.
Well yes, but as I
I could get the right answer, but how I got there sometimes was a bit of a mystery.
Well, like I tell my students at Harvey Mudd College, I say, you know, they don't pay you the big bucks for answers. They pay you the big bucks for explanations.
That explains everything. Right, yes, good. Did you always have this facility for numbers? Would you, as a young lad?
I guess I've gotten along with numbers for as long as I can remember. As a kid, I liked pulling problems apart and try to solve the problems in many different ways. And also, as a kid, I enjoyed magic. I liked showing off. I was one of these hyperactive kids that would do anything for attention. And eventually, I combined the two loves. Here, let me do another one for the audience because they seem to like the last trick. Okay, I want everyone to think of a number between 1 and 10, okay? And now whatever you're thinking of, I want you to double that number. Now I want you to add 10 to it. Now I want you to divide it by 2. And finally, subtract the number that you originally started with. How many of you are thinking of the number 5? Yeah, right?
I came out with negative 2. I think I lost an instruction somewhere.
And what's,
I'll show you the work. Yeah.
And what's great about that trick is that would be my first day of teaching a class in algebra. Because you say, well, why does this work, right? And as a magician, the reaction you want from the audience is ooh and ah. As a mathematician, the reaction you want is cool and why. Right? Cool, and why? Why did that work? So let's let the algebra explain it to us. I don't know what number any of you started with. Let's call it N for number. Now, right there, we've done the most important thing about algebra, which is we're letting a letter represent the abstract quantity of something, an unknown quantity, right? So you're all thinking of a number. Let's call it N. Then what did I ask you to do next? Double it. So now we have 2N. Then what did I say? I said, well, add 10 to it, so we have 2n plus 10. Then I said, divide it by 2. And when I divide both of those numbers by 2, I have n plus 5. And then finally, I said, subtract the number you started with. Now, what number did we all start with? N. And then you take n plus 5 and subtract the n, you get 5. And so there, in just explaining a simple magic trick, we learned a whole lot of algebra. And that's always been my philosophy, is that mathematics can be taught in a magical way, and people are going to like it.
Can you sing this song you have in here? sung to the tune of "Blowin' in the Wind" by Bob Dylan.
Well, you know what? I've got one I think the audience will like even more on Pi. Can I share it with you?
Can you do it by heart? You need to.
I can do it by heart. Okay. Yeah. But I'll only sing it once because Pi never repeats. Okay. A long, long time ago, I can still remember how my math class used to make me snore. 'Cause every number we would meet would terminate or just repeat. But maybe there were numbers that did more. But then my teacher said, I dare ya to try to find the circle's area. Despite my every action, I couldn't find a fraction. I can't remember if I cried the more I tried or circumscribed, but something touched me deep inside the day I learned of pi. Oh, pi, pi, mathematical pi. Twice 11 over 7 is a mighty fine try. A good old fraction you may hope to supply, but the decimal expansion won't die. Decimal expansion won't die. Pi, pi, mathematical pi. 3.14159265358 9. A good old fraction you may hope to define, but the decimal expansion won't die.
Arthur Benjamin, the author of The Magic of Math, Solving for X and Figuring Out Why. Why is there no CD with this book?
No! Someday.
Bill Gates once said, I don't understand the publishing industry. Aren't they greedy enough to do this sort of thing?
Absolutely. Well, that's what we're hoping for.
What is the... square roots are one of these things that you have a facility. Has the audience... Are your eyes beginning to glaze over yet? No? Good.
Well, square roots are great, right? The square root of a number like, say, 25 is 5. And if we reverse the process, the squaring of a number, the square of 5 is 25. Now, if you have a calculator with you, say, on your phone or something, feel
case,
free
to... Case Conover, which is C times C, C squared here, is coming up here.
That's right. And okay.
So what do you got? He's got a calculator.
All right, so let's test the calculator for squaring. There's a shortcut for squaring on the calculator. Give us a two-digit number. Case will square it on the calculator. I'll try and beat him to the answer.
76.
Is 5,776. Let's try a three-digit number.
I forgot the trick.
Oh, so hit times and then equals, and that gives you the square. Yeah. All right, how about it? Let's do a... The humans still have the advantage for now. All right, let's try a three-digit number, and I'll square it.
917.
917 is 840,889.
Okay, show your work.
Well, that's right. I would. I gladly would. Here, I'll show you a simple example. Let's say you wanted to square a number like 13. I'll bet some members of the audience know it. 13 squared, anyone? 169. Now, here's how to square it using my method, okay? And the details are in the book, but let me give you the how instead of the why. So 13 is not a bad number to multiply, but what number close to 13 is much easier? 10. So I'm going to go down 3 to 10, and to balance it, I go up 3 to 16. Now you tell me, 10 times 16 is 160. You're almost there. All you have to add to that is the square of the number you went up and down. You went up and down 3, and 3 squared is 9, and there's your answer. 160 plus 9 is 169. And that's what I'm doing when doing the squaring the 2-digit, 3-digit, even a 4-digit number. I'm using that process.
Okay, so did you do that quickly then for 917?
Yeah, that is exact. Now, when I did the first number, 76, the two-digit squares I've done for so long, so for such a large fraction of my life, that those numbers are almost memorized. But the three-digit ones are not, and I really am calculating it. When I squared 917, I went down 17 to 900, up 17 to 934. 9 times 934 is 8,100 plus 306 is 8,406. So that's 840,600 plus the square of 17, which we know is 289. To get 840,889. Exactly.
All right. I think John Markoff should have some kind of a competition between you and I think you were faster than Case running the calculator.
Well, thank you. Well, here, I have another question for the audience. By any chance, does anyone here happen to know the day of the week that they were born on? If you think you know your actual birthday, raise your hand. How about the gentleman here? What year were you born, if I may?
1958.
1958, and what month?
December
what? First, was that a Monday? Yes? Hmm? And it's all based on mathematics. These are the magical things that we never get taught in school.
Step right up. You too can do these tricks with this book, The Magic of Math.
Yes, you can, if only they were shown to you. I mean, we're especially these days, there's so much emphasis on testing and mastering a small body of knowledge that I think it's important that we, you know, so many of the fun and cool stuff has been cut out of our curriculum. And I want to show you the important stuff, but I also want you to see the fun and cool stuff.
And we get back to Jane McGonigal's point about play and
games.
Absolutely. And on that note, we have to end it there, right? Is that correct, according to my director?
Oh.
Wait.
More math. They're asking for more math.
They want more time. You want, all right, you want one more? Ron, what is our actual time? And can you be accurate? Whatever, how much? We have 5 minutes.
It's all about.
But Chris is saying, go ahead.
He is, so why are we waiting with me?
All right, go ahead. Fine. All right. Well, all right, you have another math thing. Oh, by the way.
Okay.
No, go ahead.
No. I was just going to tell everybody that all these books are available. Jane McGonigal's and John Markoff's and yours are all available. Sam Berry is out here. Hello, Sam, with a big stack of books.
Well, anyway.
Okay, so let's have another fun, astonishing.
See, all right. Here's a song from Fiddler on the Roof. Okay.
Have we stumped the pianist over there?
Math major, make me some math. Find me a prime, sketch me a path. Math major, look through your book and make me some perfect math. Math major, I'll bring the set. You bring the group, or better yet, bring me a ring, for I'm longing to be the ideal of all I see. Math majors find that hilarious. Fair mama, make me a function for EA. Make it not oscillate. Fair me, I'd have no compunction if it were as perfect as 28. Math major, you know that I'm only 19. Don't take your time, since in a year I will be past my prime. Thank you. So bring me a ring, give me a group, find me a prime, sketch me a path, and make me some perfect math.
What's the difference between the way you calculate and the way these electronic calculators work?
Well, the challenge you have to overcome when calculating in your head is you only have a limited amount of memory that you can use. You know, usually the calculators don't have that much of a problem with that. And so the thing that I do that's different from the calculators and different from what they teach you in school is I do all my calculations from left to right. And that's the opposite of how they do it on paper. On paper, you do right to left, right? The ones digit, the tens, the hundreds, the thousands. But we read numbers left to right. We pronounce numbers left to right. With a little practice, you can and should calculate left to right. Besides, the numbers on the left are more important than the numbers on the right, right? Better to know that the answer is in the thousands than to know that it ends in seven, right? And so so by working left to right, you get a better ability to mentally estimate your answers. And that's more important in most practical situations than getting the exact answer, right? I mean, if you need the answer to a huge problem, then you pull out the calculator. But if you're just reading the paper or at the grocery store or negotiating a car loan, you don't want to be pulling out a calculator. You just want to get a good feel for what the numbers ought to be. And that's what I try and give you is a better number sense than what you had before.
The prestidigitation of the mathematician, Arthur Benjamin. Thank you very much for your passion.
Thank you.
Very much.
Thanks, Ed.
Thank you. Arthur Benjamin here on West Coast Live. And for more information about all of our guests, wcl.org.